Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Bottom of the barrel Halloween food. I'll start. I'm ready to make people mad here. Smarties? No.
Whoa.
No.
You
don't. Who needs Smarties?
I'm not.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties. How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300? You know what? I'll take $300 from you right now, and I'll give you Smarties every day. And by day six, you'd be like, I've had the previous five packs. I haven't opened them yet. I can't decide if it's crazier that you ate a Cobb salad in a movie theater or would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still the leading bid.
That's right. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Lifetime supply of Smarties at a silent auction, Scott. Are you going above $300?
I can go to 30 cents. My mom used to like those circus peanuts. I never understood that either. Stick with the hits. You know, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is undefeated.
Yep.
Who doesn't like a Twix or a Snickers or Kit Kat? That's where you go with candy.
Starts and sits of the fantasy candy lineup. Other sits.
Those are your first round.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Those are your keeper picks.
Those might be your receivers, though. I mean, what about the fruit candy might be the running backs. That's a different position. We got to start someone there.
Starburst and Skittles are your hero RBs.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Sweet darts.
Scott Pianowski, we always chat fantasy Yahoo Sports writer Scott Pianowski. We had movement. I mean, the Deontay Johnson trade. We had injuries. Stephon Diggs have had a lot of stuff happening. Keon Coleman's emergence with the Bills. So we'll start to dig down into all of it. First, let's go with tonight's game, Scott. Where does a Houston offense go now that, I mean, Collins is going to come back and Diggs is out for the year? I wonder if they're going to make a move for a receiver, if they've got enough pieces there. But C.J. Stroud, explosive plays, like the Houston offense, maybe you thought you were getting a lot if you bought in there, and right now it is not in good shape.
Yeah, you know, usually different season, you'd say, oh, maybe we'll make a trade, and you're kind of winking because people don't make trades in the NFL. But that's changed in the last few seasons, and we've seen so many of them this year, and there are a lot of teams that are kind of down and out. I think they need to add something. Collins is still ninth in receiving yards, by the way, with all the time he's missed, which is just crazy. It speaks to a lot of different things, how great he is and how many other guys have gotten hurt. They've had trouble protecting Stroud. Joe Mixon has become the linchpin of that offense. A little bit more Dalton Schultz last week, although he's been a disappointment overall. And Tank Dell, I don't think, has been healthy the whole season. You with all the injuries, you'd think, oh, well, Tank Dell must be having a great season. He's missed time. He hasn't looked explosive. Somehow they're 6-2. It feels like both of these teams should be 4-4. The Jets have been probably unlucky to be 2-6. I don't know how Greg Zuerlein is still their kicker. Seems like everything that can go wrong at the wrong time happens for those guys. They couldn't stop Jacoby Brissett from a game-winning touchdown drive last week. You deserve to lose when that happens. But I don't think Houston's as good as their record. I don't think the Jets are as bad as their record. I've been joking all year. I want to unsubscribe from the Jets. I don't know why. They're like the Broncos were last year, where they're on national TV constantly, and we just want to watch anything else but the New York Jets. But that's what we get tonight. And I think the Jets actually have a decent chance to win. But Houston, I believe they know Collins is coming back, and he's a needle mover. It won't be this week, but in a couple of weeks. But I think there's probably a 50-50 chance that they add something before the deadline closes, which is next Tuesday.
How about the Jets and Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall? I tend to agree. Like the Jets are probably not this bad. They gave the Bills a game and missed a couple of kicks along the way, and we think the Bills are pretty good. So looking at the Jets and their offensive potential tonight, do you like Adams and Rodgers to get things on the right page eventually?
Yeah, I mean, Adams has been a disappointment to this point. And normally you think, well, it's a new team, but him and Rodgers have all those back reps. And you know, basically, Rodgers runs the offense anyway. You would think that it would look better than it has. I've been encouraged by how good Wilson has been. I think 300-yard games in the last four. And you know, Hall is more efficient last week than Allen, although Allen got 12 carries. He got the touchdown. So I wouldn't be shocked if Allen was maybe their designated scorer, even though Hall is a much better player. Adams is 32. He doesn't look anywhere near as explosive. You look at some of these guys, DeAndre Hopkins comes to mind too. Well, they were never separation guys, right? They were always, they beat you because they're technicians, and they beat you with the back shoulder throw, and they beat you with leverage, and they don't run away from people. I mean, you get almost no yards after catch with Hopkins anymore, and that's the type of player when they're in their 30s now, you just wonder if a cliff comes. Davante Adams, I still think you have to play. I would need a productive game from DeAndre Hopkins before I would want to start him. We still have 30 teams in play this week. Only the Steelers and 49ers sit out. But there was a big Davante Adams game, I'd be looking to get out of the Davante Adams business for fantasy because Garrett Wilson is still the number one there. I think everybody can see that.
To the Bills offense a little bit, Scott, where would you want to have someone? Where would you want your chips to be down? Because Coleman is really starting to pop a little bit. I saw you tweeting about James Cook and his touchdowns this year. Like, he's already way past where he was last year. But I guess it comes whether you have faith that's going to continue. So when it comes to their weapons, Kincaid too, like, I guess how would you, where would you want to have, who would you want right now? Coleman, would he be the guy? Are you trusting Cooper is going to get back after not much last week?
It's a great question. You know, before the season, I thought the Packers and the Bills were the two teams where it's like, there's got to be right answers here, and I wish I knew who the right answers were. And now we're 2 months into the season, we're Halloween night, and I'm not sure who the right guy is. I like how Coleman has gotten better. It's not uncommon for rookie receivers to see a spike in the middle of a season when they get a little bit more comfortable with what they're doing. And just Allen understands that any pass thrown at Keon Coleman can be a completion, even if there isn't separation. He's got those basketball skills. He knows how to win contested catches. I've been encouraged by that, and he's been productive even with Cooper coming back. I realize Cooper didn't play a lot in that first week, and then Cooper was disappointing last week. If you gave me my choice of any of the guys, though, I think I would take Cook. And the main reason why is because last year when you talked about that tweet, 15 rushing touchdowns for Allen, only two for Cook. I really, Murray had a handful of them too. This year it's seven for Cook. It's only three for Allen. And I believe Allen's most pass attempts this year is 34. They haven't gotten in shootouts. Not that they aren't equipped to do it, but I realize there are a couple of games where the offense get a little bit off script. But it feels like this is just the most balanced offense we've seen in Buffalo for a while. And the passing game is just so splintered. I mean, Shakir has that great catch rate. Wonderful game last week, but there's going to be games where he only gets targeted four or six times, doesn't have a ton of touchdown equity. Kincaid's a good player, maybe not a great player. Maybe they'll get Samuel back at some point. Obviously, Cooper's here now in a multi-feed. So I don't think this is cheating. If you gave me any player on the offense, I would take Cook. If I had to take a receiver, man, if I wanted the single, I'd take Shakir. If I wanted to play for the home run, then Cooper or Coleman would be pretty interesting.
You mentioned the rookie, you know, kind of breakout in the middle of a campaign. Like that Rashee Rice was this a little bit last year where it really started popping at the end. Is there anyone else that you're thinking like that's on the way for that hasn't done it already? Like Neighbors obviously is getting like, what, 15 targets a game? But like I know Worthy is starting to get more targets at least. Adunze maybe a little bit. Like, is there another rookie out there that you think this could be true of in the next couple weeks?
Man, Adunze only 5.3 targets per game, and they're kind of hiding Caleb Williams. I think we have to wait until next year for him. If they can, I realize it's hard to put any faith in Carolina, but if they can coach up Bryce Young to just be quasi competent, or maybe Dalton plays again, you would think Xavier gets in a really good spot. They've traded Johnson. If they can get anything for Adam Thielen, they'll probably trade him too. And at age 34, we can't expect much from Thielen. I would think Leggett has a decent chance to be their leading receiver for whatever that means. I also hope they keep Chuba Hubbard involved even when Brooks comes back. If even Brooks does come back, that's not a guarantee yet. Brian Thomas Jr. is too obvious. I mean, obviously, he was spreading his wings as it were. Thankfully, the injury isn't as serious as we would have worried about. Burks out now. Gabe Davis is dinged up. Trevor Lawrence has started to play a little bit better, so that's been encouraging. Coleman's a guy, I'll tell you, we've seen it the last 2 weeks. I think Coleman could score four or five touchdowns the rest of the year. I think that's in play. I want to trust Leggett. I want to go to Leggett. I'm just afraid Bryce Young could just take the offense off script, but I like what I've seen from him so far.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. You know, Scott, I feel like this is a question we maybe asked the last 2-3 years. And I guess my question is this the new norm or is it another really good receiver class? Because if you think about the guys in the first 2-3 rounds, they are almost all living up to expectation. And those that aren't might be part of bad offenses. Like even Ladd McConkey has started to really fire off for the Chargers. Like the two disappointments, if there are 2 or 3, it might be Worthy and Pearsall, and if you wanted to say Leggett, and 2 of the 3 of those are parts of offenses that don't click. Like the Worthy problems, I actually think are Mahomes problems. We're still living in a world where Mahomes is, and that Kansas City offense is kind of the issue. But anyway, the bigger picture is young receivers are doing it again.
Great class, yeah. Although in New England, they're starting to get those N'Keal Harry vibes from Jalen Polk to this point. It's just crazy how many right answers there were. I'm so glad you mentioned McConkey, who people talk about, oh, you know, he's a nice slot receiver. He played outside a lot at Georgia and probably would have had better stats if not for, one, he was hurt part of his career at Georgia, and, two, they were just smothering teams so much they never had to get the passing volume. You know, they would run the ball, work on the clock, stuff like that. So that shielded what his true upside is, and even shield a little bit with the Chargers now because they play bully ball. We know Harbaugh wants to control the game on the ground. They have started to throw a little bit more, but they're never going to be an aerial circus. It should be a fun game this week against Cleveland. And isn't it nice to have the Cleveland Browns back in the NFL with their quarterback change? Quarterback change is a big story in the NFL right now too. But McConkey is a player I really like. I would love it if somehow they could find even 7 or 8 targets for him a game. He caught all 6 of them last week. We're never going to get 10 to 12. They're just not built that way. But I think his efficiency is really good. He's the number one receiver already on his own team, and we're always looking for guys who are the featured players.
Scott, now that we're just past the midway point of the fantasy regular season, I know deadlines are probably coming up next couple weeks for most people. Is there a big name that you think's been kind of a disappointment this year that you think you maybe could poach from a team? Maybe a team that's like, you know, on the fringe, you know. I thought about Tyreek Hill for this. I think he might be too big a name for this, though, because I know he's been disappointing given his ADP. But is there a guy that comes to mind for you of like, I think I could get that guy from whoever drafted him because he's not happy with him?
Chris Olave. Their offensive line is starting to get healthy again. Derek Carr is probably going to play week 9. Shaheed, who was taking a lot of the Olave routes and catches, he is unfortunately out for the year. And you know, Carolina this week, and if you're going to get him, you get him now because he could easily go off against Carolina, the best matchup you can have. And there's a lot of really good matchups in that division, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins has basically had a lost season, except he played Tampa Bay twice. He threw for 509 in one game. He threw for 4 touchdowns in the other game. So if you can get Hill, it may be hard to get Hill. Even a tiny discount on Hill, I'd be interested in. What they need to do, and I can't wait to see this game this week against Buffalo, is they were so intent on getting the ball out of Tua's hands last week, and it just took the explosiveness out of the offense. Tyreek Hill lives to get behind people, those intermediate and deep routes, but those plays take time to develop. They need to trust that they can do something, you know, that Tua can be protected for 3 or 4 seconds and let one of those passes go. And it's, you see the design in offenses sometimes. I mean, the Bengals are really reluctant to do play action with Joe Burrow. He's usually in shotgun where you can't do play action. Burrow doesn't like to turn his back to the defense, and you're just giving up a cheat code. And we saw, remember the Saints the first 2 weeks were all like, oh, you know, Kubiak, mm-hmm. What a great hire. And they're moving their receivers more pre-snap, and they're doing more play action. These are things they didn't do in the previous regime. And they beat the snot out of Carolina. They beat the snot out of Dallas. We didn't maybe realize at the time just Dallas isn't a good team. But, yeah, I think Olave has a chance to go crazy. And also, this would be hard to get. You'd have to pay full market for this. But CeeDee Lamb last year after the bye, they just said, you know what, CeeDee Lamb's our guy. Let's just absolutely douse him in targets. Let's basically throw him the ball until he throws up, you know, to use the C.J. Spiller line. And bye week, they went to San Francisco. I know the team didn't look great, but CeeDee Lamb was fantastic. If I were drafting in a league right now and had the first pick, CeeDee Lamb would be my guy.
Another offense that is up off the mat, the Browns. And Jameis, of course, is a big factor there. But I want to give another name. And, yes, I'm speaking selfishly, but Nick Chubb got 16 carries last week for 52 yards. Like, I've been waiting this whole time, Scott, in Dynasty League to find out, is Nick Chubb one of these Adrian Peterson-level freaks that, yeah, he got the injury at 28 and he's supposed to be done. It's like, actually, no, he's going to be great for 3 more years and, you know, lock in his Hall of Fame career. The fact that they have leaned on him as much as they have this early, to me, it's a surprise. 11 carries and then 16 carries, and he says he's starting to feel better.
Yeah, the efficiency hasn't been there. He did have a touchdown that first game, but at least the buoyancy of the offense goes up. They'll be in scoring position more. Teams will have to take the pass more seriously. It was just obvious that the confidence and the arm strength weren't there with Watson. The offense had no chance. So I think Chubb will be a great player to roster next year. I think it's going to be a little bit tough sledding this season, but they have a chance. The schedule is not that great, which is a shame because, you know, Jameis, all of his passes pretty much were to the receivers and to Njoku, their great tight end. I mean, Pillman got the big notices because he had the 2 touchdowns and he had a really good game the previous week, but Judy was involved, Elijah Moore was involved. And it was a full Jameis game, right? There were a couple of, what was that throw? I mean, they had a couple of picks that were dropped. If Kyle Hamilton latches on to the second one, the game's over. But it's just nice to see Hope back there, and Hope is Nick Chubb playing. Maybe not to Nick Chubb levels, but he's healthy enough to basically be their featured back. And with Jameis in there, and we know he's going to throw picks, he's going to throw some mistakes. That's just who he is, but he's not afraid. And he will push the ball to his receivers. So, you know, Tillman was somebody, surprisingly, wasn't added that much in Yahoo League the previous week, so he was on waivers for this week, too. In a guillotine league, I actually dropped Deontay Johnson for Tillman last week, so I need somebody who could play. And I got Tillman for $1, so that felt pretty good. I actually didn't need Tillman's blow-up game. I wish I could put that on reserve. But it's just nice to see that offense have a chance now, because there were four or five offenses you didn't want to go near, and now the Browns, we don't have to put them in under that heading anymore.
What, one last quick one, Scott. Would you, in any circumstance, drop Jordan Mason this week? He's injured, and he's had a couple weeks in a row where it's happened in-game. And McCaffrey is supposed to be back, but I guess that's, I mean, who knows, right? So would you just hold him and just, even as insurance for the rest of the year, what would you do with him?
I think you have to hold him. The thing that's really tricky is Garendo's looks very good when he's played too. So maybe Mason doesn't have the hammer lock on the number two job as much as we thought. Maybe that could be a timeshare if and when McCaffrey comes back. But I don't want to make any assumptions with McCaffrey's comeback. And I know it's hard. You know, they have Jennings. I'm keep waiting for him to come back. He's missed time. He had that one blow-up game. We knew Ayuk is out for the season. Pearsall looked, I thought, good. Maybe not great, but good last week. So a lot of moving parts of the Niners. But I want to see, I want to hold those guys if I can. And I know you have to play to your situation. If you have a losing record, maybe you have to play for what gives you the best week 9 opportunity. But what they do, their reveal after the bye week is going to be very illuminating. You can't always go by what teams say. It's what they do, what they call, what packages they're in, who they give first retargets to, those types of things. So I want to see. And the last week was a big reveal week. You know, Miami came back. We saw a reveal with them. Tampa Bay had to play without Evans and without Godwin. What are they going to do? Well, it turns out the big winner was their tight end, Kate Otten, who has been terrific for 2 straight weeks. They really didn't get any of the receivers going. We saw the Browns have a reveal week. First game with Winston. San Francisco's game in week 10 will be a reveal game, and we'll have to make major assumptions based on what they come out with.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Thanks, Scott. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Scott on Twitter at, Scott_Piano, WSKI. So Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Thursday night football tonight. We've got our Thursday three-way parlay we'll put together. Texans and Jets. We'll do that.
All right. I'm going to see what Bobby Trees' odds are for this game.
Robert Woods?
Mm-hmm. He's probably going to be playing the dig spot, right? Like the interior slot role.
Yep.
Yeah, I might want to see what the odds are there. He's old at this point, but he's still going. Also, fantasy season, if your team is good, like if you're like one of these, if you're 7-1 or 6-2, start looking already at who teams play in the playoffs.
Oh, yes.
Start looking for who's got favorable matchups. Maybe you even make trades based on that.
There were two teams for this that can I give you?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. The problem is they're kind of tough.
Yeah, because right? the Bucks are better for that.
The Bucks are better.
The Raiders
for that.
Only. Well, they have Bowers, I guess.
They have Bowers. They have, you know, Trey Tucker.
Jacoby Myers actually has been pretty good for fantasy.
Right.
He gets a lot of targets.
The Raiders play a weak defense. Yeah, a run. The Bucks were the one for me here. I was looking to poach some Baker Mayfield in some leagues just in case, but with no Godwin, maybe when Evans comes back, they'll be okay.
Evans, that's a good one. If you, because yeah, who does he play in the fantasy playoffs? He plays.
Is it Carolina and Atlanta, maybe? It's probably divisional matchups.
It would
matchups.
Be the Chargers in your first playoff matchup, but then it's Dallas, and then it's Carolina in the championship
round.
Right,
if you can get through the Chargers, maybe you got to bye.
And if
like,
you
get through the Chargers, because that's a low-event team and a low-event game.
Yeah, that's a good one. If you've got a great record, and maybe the guy who's got Evans is like 4-4.
Get Evans.
Go get Evans. Wait the couple weeks till he comes back, and yeah.
And you're betting on an injury, which might mean that person trading him is more likely to unload him.
Yeah, I like that.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I spent big in guillotine this week. Finally.
Yeah.
Usually in guillotine.
McLaurin?
Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't get McLaurin. Oh, usually right. In guillotine, I spend early and then wait, and I'm out of money by now. And that has worked for me to do that, to build the best team you can, the earliest you can. And this year, in a couple leagues, I hadn't really spent any money until now. So a little different strategy. You know, you can find your way multiple ways. Happy Halloween. What was your best ever Halloween costume?
Best ever Halloween costume. I might need a minute with this one.
2 years ago, my girlfriend and I did Bugs and Lola Bunny from Space Jam.
All right.
Felt pretty good about that.
Couple costumes are always good.
This year we did Han Solo and Leia.
Nice.
Like, we did like a thing with her family with like all of us did Star Wars.
Yep.
So her and her brother were Luke and Leia, which was a good combo.
A couple years ago, my wife decided that we decided that the twins and she and I were all going to be the songs of Elton John. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So our daughter was the Tiny Dancer.
Uh-huh.
My son was Rocket Man.
Right.
She, what was she? I was Crocodile Rock.
Yeah.
And she was, maybe I have this wrong. What was she? I don't remember.
I think my best ever might be the Joker. At least I put the most effort into that one. Whole thing. The purple suit, the white makeup with the
smile,
yep, the green hair. It was more like the cartoon Joker, though, I would say, than the Heath Ledger Joker. Or the new one.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix.
There's another new one, and it's apparently so bad that people walk out because it's boring.
I've heard it's horrible.
Yeah,
It's also a musical.
Okay. So everybody just decided, no thanks?
Well, why is it a musical? Did you see the first one?
Yeah.
First one was great. Why is the second one a musical?
Nobody knows
why. It doesn't make any sense. They just decided, hey, we had this really good movie, got nominated for awards. Let's do a second one. No, let's make it a musical. What? It just made no sense at all that they made it a musical.
I, by the way, do not remember. Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Bringing up something else. Scratch that. I am told that there's a million superhero and comic book movies. I'm told that The Penguin is really good.
The Penguin?
Yes, I've not seen it. The Penguin. It's Colin Farrell. Apple TV, maybe?
HBO
okay,
Max.
There you go. I'm told that it's really very good. So there you go. That's not me recommending it. That someone recommended it to me.
This is a secondhand recommendation.
Yes, and I cannot actually vouch for it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I could say it. I've been told it's good.
Yeah, the first review I just saw is Tony Soprano meets Gotham, which sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, like a mob movie as he makes his way up, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Thursday, three-way parlay. We'll build it. And at 9:45, we have been given permission to break the news. The Bills legend of the game, Zach Jones, confirms Penguin is legitimately fantastic. There you go. Now two sources have told me. It's really good. We're going to break the news on the legend of the game for Bills Dolphins. 9:45. Don't miss it.
You're tuned to Buffalo's news talk leader, 930 WB. WBEN on the Odyssey app. Call or text WGR 030550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy.
Be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sean Murphy at Rob's Playhouse Theater. Saturday, November 2nd, Sean is a New York City comedian originally from Buffalo whose likability and awkwardness keeps audiences captivated whenever he performs. A regular at the Comedy Cellar, he has a great YouTube special called Neil and performs in top comedy clubs across the country. Visit PlayhouseTix.com for details. Caller 5, 221-4WGR.
Dale is gone, so we go to Pat in East Islip. What's going on, Pat?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
All right, man. Patty, what's happening?
Not much. I like all this talk over the last all morning has been about how Gerrit Cole didn't cover first base. This entire World Series comes down to Aaron Judge. He didn't hit, and in the game he did hit, he drops a routine fly ball that any little leaguer would have caught. He's a disgrace to the Yankee uniform. He should be stripped of his captaincy. And as far as I'm concerned, you can trade him to the Mets.
That's a little extreme. Yeah. See, but this is why.
I mean,
dropping that fly ball is tough.
Yeah, he did make a really good catch before that.
And he also hit a double to keep them alive.
Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, and he had a home run in the first. Like, wasn't that his best game? He had one bad play in, what, four good plays? He hadn't done anything before that.
Yeah. All right. It is Jeremy and Joe. Good morning. Scary movies. We haven't done the scary movie conversation yet.
We did a little bit because we got to Motel Hell.
That's right.
With a caller.
That's right.
A 1980 film.
I forgot about that. Motel Hell.
Yeah.
I've got my annual take here on scary movies. But first, let's do our Thursday three-way parlay. There's a game tonight, and it's time. We each put together a leg. Jets and Texans in New York.
All right.
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
Is there any pressure to going first? You know, we each build a leg in.
No, there's more pressure, I think, to going third because there's a chance that the first two could take your bet.
Not just that, but you also have to fit the third one kind of into the game script.
I agree. Yeah.
I've lived that life every single time we've done this.
Well, I'll go third this time.
Then you go first.
Yeah,
you go first.
You hit lead off.
Oh, Josh, go first.
Play around, you're hitting me with the...
Nah, I'm not ready.
let's go. Okay, so I don't really want to do anything with the Jets. I just don't want to do anything with Jets. They just don't seem dependable enough. Let's go Joe Mixon under rushing yards.
All right.
81.5
is kind of high.
81's a big number for an over-under.
Yeah.
All right. Mixon under on 81.5 is where we're at.
Okay.
Okay. This will... this will be fine for me, because if we're going game script, my game script is I'm taking the Jets and to cover 2.5. Field goal game. Jets minus 2.5.
Okay. All right. I am going to, with this game script here, you know, Jets maybe with the lead a little bit, Mixon not running the ball a lot. I mentioned Robert Woods in this game, who I think is going to play the dig spot. And his over-under for this game is 18.5 yards.
Ooh.
So, and he played a third of the snaps. He came in when Diggs was out. I'm going to go with Robert Woods. I think underneath routes, possession routes, trustworthy throws when you need a play. He's only 32 years old. Yeah, Robert Woods over 18.5 will be our third leg of our parlay today.
All right. That's.
So Mixon under, you've got the Jets on the spread, right?
Yep.
And then I've got the Woods bet. So all of that together, plus 380.
Yep.
So for you non-bettors, that would mean 10 to win 38 or 100 to win 380, so on and so forth.
Yep. There you go. There's our Thursday three-way parlay. So, all right.
8:15 tonight for kickoff. Who's going to be there? New York area?
Famous people? No one. It's the Jets.
They're out on the Jets now.
Yeah, nobody wants to be seen at the Jets games.
Right.
A lot of people dressed as empty seats tonight. I better hear Al say that.
He's snarky these days.
He is.
You might. You really might hear it.
He is. All right, it's time for Building the Bills.
Time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Hain Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
So, I've reached out to try and get, I've got a very specific number I'm looking for from the Bills. And that is, I want to know how close the upper deck is to the upper deck from one side to the other. So, right. They are efforting that. And when we talked about this yesterday, somebody wrote in and said, What if you just got like your rangefinder from the golf course and shot the other? I think that's the way we should maybe do it. Go to the last row of the upper deck and shoot the last row of the upper deck. Bam. What's my yardage? And then go to the new stadium, last row of the upper deck, last row of the upper deck. Bam. Shoot the yardage. And what's the difference? Because the steepness, the closeness, the new stadium. I mentioned yesterday when you drive by, you can look through it and the other side looks so close when you're looking through it. So we're going to work on that number and try to get that for you. That's part of building the Bills today. The other part of building the Bills is there's a piece up at the website, and I think there's a lot of love coming in on the Bills' offensive line and how they built this offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How did they do it? First off, Dawkins, second-round pick. He's been pretty good the whole way.
Yep.
Spencer Brown, third-round pick. He's been pretty good, except when he got hurt.
The last 2 years he's been very good.
Rock solid.
Torrance was a second-round pick.
Yep. So they've invested some stuff there.
Day two picks.
Connor McGovern was a sizable contract, and they said we can move him to center, and that's gone fine.
Yeah.
And then David Edwards was a reasonable price.
He's the only thing that's kind of, you just kind of plugged in a cheap whatever, right? Like, everything else was day two pick or pretty good contract. Like, they kind of, there's no mega, you know, acquisition there. There's no which, you traded for Trent Williams.
Which Morse was. Morse was the highest paid center in the league when they signed him.
Right. But right now, like, everything's like a pretty good investment that they've made in four of the five positions. They also, again, knock on wood, they stay healthy. Right? Since Brown was injured 2 years ago.
Yeah, knock on wood. Last year, they missed like a snap?
Yeah, like they don't leave the field.
Knock on wood.
And Sal always talks about how they love their depth behind him, like Alec Anderson, Ryan Vandermark, whatever. Like, we haven't even seen these guys. And it's not their fault. It's because there's been no injuries. So, yeah, hopefully that continues.
Right.
Also, Allen helps them look good, I think.
Yeah. No doubt about that.
But their run game is better than ever, and I think that's more to do with the line than it is to do with the running backs. Not that the running backs are bad. I just think the line is more dictates that more often.
That's building the Bills. Let's get a break in so we can get back in time to tell you who this week's legend of the game for the Bills will be. You know, leading the crowd and the hey and the right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
My only hint I will give you, I'll give you a hint, and we'll give away nothing. The name did come up yesterday.
Ooh.
The name came up yesterday. A lot of names came up, like 200 names came up yesterday. But the name came up yesterday. On who it'll be, and I'll tell you when we get back.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up.
Romo to throw from his end zone. Has time. Intercepted down the middle. George Wilson. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Shout it right now, baby.
Your legend of the game, source with the Bills. I was given full permission. George Wilson, legend of the game.
All right. Nice. Yeah. 7 years with the Bills as both a safety and a wide receiver.
That's one of the coolest things. He was a wide receiver, and they're like, why don't you play safety? Like, okay.
Yeah.
George Wilson.
And he was pretty good. I mean, he started... How many games did he start for the Bills? 55 games at safety for the Bills after beginning as a receiver.
They called him the Senator.
He did never have a catch for the Bills, I will say that. He had a rush attempt.
He had a rushing attempt?
He had a rushing attempt. But never...
What are the circumstances for that? Was it a fake punt?
You know, let me find what happened here. What happened in 2011 that got George Wilson a rush attempt?
I've also got the nachos for the day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might want to hear that.
The Squish the Fish nachos. Look at this. This show.
Are there going to be seafood involved? If they're Squish the Fish nachos.
Here you go. Squish the Fish nachos.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What is this rush attempt?
Okay. Here we go. The unique dish will feature fresh bluefin tuna, fried wontons, mango, green onions, sriracha aioli, furikake spice. That's my guess on how to pronounce it. All atop a bed of tortilla chips.
Okay.
We sourced bluefin tuna right from the Atlantic to ensure the freshest, most sustainable ingredients. Squish the fish nachos. They sound tremendous. Would eat.
I'm like, this is a weird rabbit hole to go down.
You need
it
to find
doesn't even matter.
George Wilson's rushing
attempt. I need to
attempts.
Know why he had a rush attempt. In the finale, week 17, 2011, against New England, George Wilson on the first drive up the middle for 6 yards.
Fake punt.
Oh, do you think that's what
it's
it
is? It's got to be a fake punt, right?
What down was it on? That would have been obvious.
It was 2011.
2011.
Bill
I think you're right. It's going to be a fake punt, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it was 4th and 1. There you go.
6 yards per carry?
Easy explanation. Yep.
Feed George Wilson the rock.
Right? Like, I read that, like, up the middle for 6 yards. What was he, a tailback? They just gave him an inside zone handoff? Just because?
He has more career rushing yards with the Bills than Reggie Bush.
I believe everybody that's ever played for the Bills has more rushing yards than Reggie Bush.
That might be right.
I think technically that is right. We have more rushing yards for the Bills than Reggie Bush.
-1. So he finished with was it -3?
I think it was minus.
No, there's someone else that had recently had -3.
There's another Bill?
Yeah, there's another Bill that finished minus rushing yards. What did not Matt Breida. Somebody recently.
TJ Yeldon. There's another Bill with negative rushing yards?
I think so. Somebody.
It seems crazy because I feel like we would remember that because we remember the Reggie Bush. Maybe it's because Reggie Bush is a big name, though.
Okay.
That we only remember it.
Oh, I got a lot of guys worse than Reggie Bush.
Oh, worse? Not, well, oh, no. Well, are you counting quarterback stuff
no,
from like the
no.
80s when they counted sack stuff?
Also, with -3 in his career is Nyheim Hines.
Okay.
You want some more?
I've got the list in front of me now,
yeah.
too.
Justin yeah. Jenkins. Deontay Thompson, -5.
Justin Jenkins? The Falcon receiver?
Maybe. Russell Copeland, -8. Robert Royal, -9.
Gabe Davis, -2. Terrell Pryor, -1. That's funny. Always remember that Terrell Pryor was a Bill.
Marcus Thigpen is a -1.
He had a moment against the Dolphins.
Who did?
Marcus Thigpen. He had a game with 2 punt return touchdowns, I think.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that happened. 2 punt return touchdowns in the same game. I feel like that's right. Marcus Thigpen. Right in the middle, smack dab in the drought somewhere. Doran Dickerson, did you mention him?
I did not. Dickerson with -8. I forgot about Doran Dickerson.
Yeah. All right, so maybe it's not that rare. Yeah, there are 33 Bills with negative rushing yards in their careers. How did we get on that?
I don't know.
George Wilson.
Yes, George Wilson. He is the legend of the game.
Cool.
I wouldn't mind.
Next week, Jabari Greer.
Terrence McGee
would be really cool. Jabari Greer, by the way, is another Bill with negative rushing yards for his career. 1 carry, -6. I'm sure that play was fun. 2004? Or 2008, excuse me. I'm sure the 2008 rush attempt by Jabari Greer for -6 yards was a real fun moment.
Could that
be
like
Bill,
an interception that you run the wrong,
I don't think so.
On the return?
No, this is...
That's not rushing yards?
This sounds like a fake that went horribly wrong.
Hmm. Not going to go down that rabbit hole and find out that play?
That one might be tougher to find. Probably the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Fake punt, fake field goal, something like that.
Well, happy Halloween, everyone. Stay safe. Be safe. Kyle Williams would have more rushing yards than Reggie Bush. He ran it forward.
He had a touchdown. He also had 10 receiving yards. He caught a pass from Josh Allen the next
that,
year.
I do not remember.
There's the finale. His final game of his career the next year is like another send-off. They ran a play-action pass to Kyle Williams that went for a first down.
That I do not remember.
It happened. That was against the Dolphins. Yeah.
So
Josh Allen has thrown a pass to Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams has as many catches in Buffalo against the Dolphins as the Dolphins have wins against the Bills in Buffalo in 13 years.
That's exactly right.
That is today's stat of the day.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Tomorrow we'll have to name some Dolphins again.
Yeah, remember some Dolphins. All right. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow for a Football Friday. We'll talk, of course, with Sal, with Chris Brown. We'll recap Jets and Texans tonight. That's in New York at MetLife Stadium. Halloween post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll bring in candy. I'll give you all my Smarties.
I think the table out there and our break room is going to be filled with candy tomorrow.
And I bet tomorrow morning when we walk in, it's going to be full of Smarties because nobody takes the Smarties.
Oh, come on. Smarties. Smarties are fine. There's nothing wrong with a good Smartie.
All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up on WGR.